This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer.
But it is the highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious podcast, proudly brought to you by the Bamboo app. Crypto Curious is your go-to source for all things cryptocurrency. Whether you're a seasoned pro or new to the world of crypto, we've got you covered. Each week, we'll break down the top news stories of the past 7 days, giving you the information you need to stay on top of the latest trends and developments. Plus, we'll share quick bites of news and insights that you won't want to miss. If you're new to crypto, we recommend starting with our early episodes where we break down the basics and give you a solid foundation to understand the crypto world. Join us as we explore the ever-evolving world of cryptocurrency and educate ourselves along the way. On this week's show, we discuss yet another ledger exploit and how the heavyweight Google is preparing for a bull market run. Also, some possible bad news for the FTX creditors. There's also loads of quick bites of news to catch up on today, which is our last show before the Christmas and New Year's break. My name's Tracy, and today the OG gang is back. Blake and Craig on the mic. How are you going, guys?
Very well, Trace. How are you?
Very well. Craig, how are you going?
I'm going good. Thanks, Trace. I'm happy that the market's popped off, so I won't get bullied on Christmas this year about the crypto prices. So happy days.
Yeah, exactly right. All the chatter about crypto on Christmas, Blake.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exciting time. It feels frothy already to me, and we're only 4 months or 5 months out from the halvening, which, you know, I haven't seen before. There's a lot of excitement and activity happening out there, lots of innovation, and, you know, it's going
to
be an interesting
one. It's just nice to be coming
out of the winter that we've been in. It's unbelievably frothy. It's crazy how early it's come. Haven't even seen Ethereum run.
Ethereum. All right, let's get into our first story, Blake. What do we got?
That's it. So crypto hardware wallet producer Ledger is in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons again. Now, they've had some troubles in the past, and they've lost a lot of data. They've had security breaches. Several dApps using Ledger's wallet connector kit, which is some middleware or some software that connects the Ledger software to the decentralized applications, faced security breaches last week and caused a massive panic of people not knowing what to do. This included platforms like SushiSwap, Zapier, Zappa, Phantom, Balancer, and Revoke. Some massive platforms there. Ledger later announced that the malicious code has been replaced and updated, and a safe version has now been released. So, Craig, did you hear anything about this one?
Yes, I did. It turns out around $600K worth was stolen.
Which isn't a lot, really, is it?
Isn't a lot in the grand scheme of things. And these funds were later frozen by Tether, but... You know, I think if you're using a Ledger,
there was panic out there because
let's
be honest, you panicked. You jumped in the chat and were like, "What's going on here? I believe your words were, should I be panicking?"
Should I be panicking? Yes. Yeah. And turns out if you're don't check your wallet or check your ledger for a while, then you should be fine. But if you're interacting with it quite a bit, then...
Yeah. I think, like Blake said, though, this is kind of, for me, three strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
Because there'd been two already in the last 12 to 18 months, and this one was just another nail in the coffin for these guys. So it wasn't a good look, was it?
Yeah, we never hear about this with Trezor, which is their number one competitor, possibly the most widely used retail hardware wallet.
It was the first one I heard of.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one's older. They've both been around for as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always used Trezor. It's been dependable. Ledger's, been out there as well. But, you know, I think you're right. It'd be challenging to buy one, you know, after seeing them make, you know, a few different mistakes.
Well, that's what we kind of wanted to talk to our listeners about today. In the wake of this exploit with Ledger, there'd be many people kind of evaluating switching to possibly another cold wallet, and there are many other options out there. We've just mentioned Trezor as one of them, but make sure you do your due diligence to make sure you're buying from a reputable website. Blake, you've mentioned that on the show before.
Yeah, I could mention it again. You know, we have to be careful when buying cold storage wallets from your third-party stores, kind of like Amazon or eBay.
Don't buy on eBay.
Yeah,
don't buy on eBay.
Don't buy on anything like that. Don't buy them online through a marketplace or anything like that. Well, really, the best thing to do is buy them directly from the producer. Mm-hmm. I know Trezor is based in, I think you get them directly from Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic.
I think there is an Australian distributor here.
Yeah, there's potentially an Australian distributor, but I'm always going to feel safest, buying them directly from the company.
There you go. But like we said, be very, very careful and do your own research. Be very careful out there, folks. Moving on to our next story, it looks like FTX creditors have taken a bit of a low blow. The FTX revised organization plan came out today. And what's happened here is the FTX estate filed an amended Chapter 11 reorganization plan, treating the cryptocurrency claims as their equivalent of cash valued at the time of the bankruptcy filing back in November 11. In 2022, sorry, Craig.
That's right, Trace, yeah. So people have pretty much missed out on this little bull run that we're having now. So if you held Solana in FTX, you're only going to get it for what it was worth on November 11th, 2022. So I think that's a bit of a stitch up to these guys, Trace.
I thought most of it was being paid out in Bitcoin, though. I thought... Is that correct?
Seems like they might have changed it now, Trace.
Yeah, okay.
You know, what I would really like to know with this one is that, you know, if they make money out of this situation by giving the cash value at the time of liquidation, and, you know, they're obviously making profits off the current upside.
Yeah.
Who gets that extra capital that they make?
Very good point, because obviously...
Sam gets it.
Sam?
Well, look, Bitcoin was 17,000 back then, and we know where it's at now. So that's a really good question, Blake.
Yeah. You know, is it distributed equally amongst creditors? I know that the administrators are charging $1.5 million USD a day. Have they jacked that up and, you know, kind of pushed these changes? So they, you know, I don't know. Is it a bit of a money grab from them?
Mm.
Yeah.
Highly doubt it. So they're getting around about 75% back, we know, of what the creditors had lost. Around about 75% of what they lost, they're getting back. And now they might be only getting it back in the dollar value. So that will take it down incredibly.
But if they're making the money back, you know, you would assume that then creditors get paid back in full.
Interesting. Bit more to come on that story, folks, and we'll find out in due course. Our next story, added this one on today, Solana phone. We've spoken about that a few times. Craig at one point was going to buy one. He did not. It's been out since May this year. Have you seen this story, Craig?
Should I buy one?
You were going to buy one. You didn't buy one. They're sold out now. You can't buy one. They weren't sold out a few weeks ago. In fact, they were having a little bit of trouble getting these sold. But the phone itself, which was $600, are now on the secondary market worth, people are trying to buy them for like a couple of grand. And the reason is the original phone had an allocation of free Bonk tokens. Apparently, you got around about 30 million free Bonk tokens. And because of the run that token's been on the last couple of weeks, the phone is now worth $4,000 on its own.
US dollars?
Apparently.
Wow.
So this is a clear sign this is when you know we're in a bull market, when meme coins like Bonk are going multiples.
Oh, bonkers.
So essentially these tokens are now worth 1,000, which people have figured out that there's a bit of an arbitrage opportunity in selling unclaimed Bonk Saga phones. And I think Solana has seen a massive increase in usage and increase in people jumping on due to the fact that they've had two or three massive airdrops that have popped off in the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
One was this one called Jupe.
Yep.
Jupiter. Yep. There's a few others that I can't remember, but that's due to the influx of users who've probably used Solana since the last bull and are now coming back. I was quoted a few weeks ago that saying Solana was going to be the best performer and didn't even do anything about it. So I'm just watching the Solana summer happen right now and I'm devastated.
Back in the Solana summer. But it's just interesting. I mean, look, you know, Bonk flipped Pepe. There's always a meme coin out there. Try not to get involved in these kind of things. But yeah, look.
Get involved. But it can be, it's some mouthwatering returns. Like when it's gone up 100% a day.
But look, to be honest, I just got myself through necessity a new Apple phone because I needed to, but I didn't get any free airdrops. And so
it's a good selling point.
Good selling point. Only in crypto, hey? All right, moving on. Internet giant, you may have heard of them, Google, is reportedly tweaking its crypto ad policy to allow promotion activity for cryptocurrency coin trusts, is what I've got in air quotations there, potentially paving the way for more crypto-based financial products. This is just in stark contrast to the last few years, boys. And this move is all due to the speculation about the approval of the spot Bitcoin ETF that we've obviously been reporting about for the last few months. And these changes are set to be approved on the 29th of January. And I can hear your little mind ticking over from here, Craig. Bullish, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's something I didn't really think about is how these big fund managers are going to promote this Bitcoin ETF. Yeah, we've seen the Super Bowl commercials of years past, FTX, Coinbase. We've just seen a recent one by Bitwise.
Yeah, was it Blake put that in the chat today, folks? Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes.
But they're an asset manager and they're sort of unveiling a cryptic ad where they ask the guy what the most interesting thing in the world is and he says Bitcoin. So they're promoting this already and Michael Saylor shared it as well. So
interesting.
See how that goes.
You know, I really don't know whether we're going to get this in January or in March.
I think we're going to get it.
You're running an ad in December.
Oh, I think we get it the next couple of days.
Couple of days?
You heard it here first. Who knows? Who knows? But again, it's just unbelievable that we're sitting here talking about Google being so open.
Well, just like I'm not overly shocked on this news because Meta have really loosened up their policy. So have every other ads platform. And Google were last. I think they've been behind the eight ball on this one for a while, but it's going to be obviously good for the market to have legit crypto companies being able to promote on Google.
I think there's an interesting point here to make that I still think that Google is going to be selective, right? And they may only let the big institutional players advertise.
Well, let's see if that premonition comes true. While we are talking about spot Bitcoin ETFs, we can't have our last episode of the year without giving some news on that front. And there has been numerous news pieces over the last 48 hours. Gary Gensler just this week has been out in the news talking about the new look of the spot Bitcoin ETF applications after a couple of court rulings, Craig.
Yeah, so he's made a few TV appearances in the last week or so. He said that the SEC is reportedly reconsidering spot ETF applications in light of the recent court rulings. This is all about the Grayscale spot ETF application. And there's also a dozen others like BlackRock and Fidelity that are all under review. So he's not normally been the biggest bull for crypto, but he's now talking like there's a new look and he's got a bit more optimistic view on it. Blake, what do you think?
Yeah, kind of following on from that, there was a bunch of news today regarding the Ethereum ETF, and the SEC has formally delayed the spot Ethereum ETF applications of 21 Sharks, ARK, VanEck, Grayscale, and Hashdex. So, yeah, just pushing this out. It's going to be hard for them to continue to push this out if the Bitcoin ETF drops, because precedent then is set. And you know, does that mean we're going to see Solana, Ripple, and all the others?
Please.
Oh, the rumors. Please. The rumors alone will happen, but I don't think we'll see them. Surely not.
Interesting. Okay, next up, last week we explored what was exciting our co-hosts, Ben Bergs and Blake, in the crypto and blockchain world for 2024 and beyond. So this week it's our turn. Me and Craig didn't get a chance to share our thoughts, so we're going to do so right now and see what the future of crypto might hold from our perspective. Ladies first again, I'm just going to do a quick shout out to one that I like, which is Lens Protocol. We've spoken about Lens Protocol on the show before. It's a social platform, and it is permissionless and decentralized Web3, powered by NFTs and smart contracts. It's on the Polygon network, and it can plug into lots of different bridges as well. It can cross-chain. But it basically is a social media platform, and it's been working now for the best part of 3 years. It's live in beta, and I was waiting for a long time on the wait list to even get onto the wait list, and I did that about 3 weeks ago now. Finally, there's over 100,000 users in the beta system now, so you can go online at the moment and secure your own name by signing in to that wait list.
I tried to register for that, and I couldn't get on.
When did you try?
Probably like probably 6 months to a year ago.
You can now. You should be able to if you jump on today. I'll put the show notes in below. So with this, you'll have complete ownership of your own profile, you know, and your connections, your posts, your data, and, you know, it's not like your traditional social media platforms of right now. And you can easily switch between platforms as well without losing any of your data or starting from scratch. So if I wanted to shut down Instagram, I lose everything. That won't happen from here, and everything is cross-platform. So it's kind of like the future of social media. It's a very big, bold task. They're trying to make it so that you can move what you've got now across to there. I don't really see how that can happen, but it was in their roadmap. The only thing is, I'm not completely jazzed on their branding and the look of it, but that's just for their homepage. When you move into their social aspect, it looks a lot like the other social media that you're used to seeing. And it's really active now. I jumped in and had a look again the last couple of days. So check it out. That's the Lens Protocol, and I will pop some details in the show notes below.
Greg, what about you? What do you have for us today?
I know Ben and Maple, Tracy and Lens have spoken about apps that they like. I'm going to speak about an investment thesis for next year that I think is very... no one's really talking about it yet, and that is, or we've talked about it a lot, but Coinbase. So the Coinbase is the custodian for none of the 12 ETFs that have been filed, and it's pretty unprecedented that one company is going to have such a big part in this generational opportunity for funds flowing into Bitcoin. So I think, you know, there is a world, and the last 12 months, Coinbase has actually outperformed Bitcoin and Ethereum. So there is a world that the best crypto asset for the next bull run could actually be a stock. And I think with everything that Coinbase has got going on, the custodians, the base layer two that you spoke about, Blake, the exchange, Binance, FTX don't exist anymore pretty much in the US. They're primed to really have a huge year next year. So that is my boring
It makes sense.
It's a pretty good thesis.
12 months. I like it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, nice work.
And you know what? I want to speak about one that's a good app as well. Block Earner, I feel. The next year, if these Bitcoin Ethereum prices go to what, you know, these group chats are saying.
Did you end up using Block Earner?
I've downloaded it, and I will use it when Ethereum hits my price target. It just makes a lot of sense, and I feel like one of these apps is just begging to take market share. So
just to be clear, you know, they do crypto backed loans. People can use it to borrow against the crypto for a deposit for a house, buying a new car, going on a holiday when you don't want to create a taxable event from selling your digital asset in a bull market. I've been using the product. I know the guys over at Block Earner, and they've done an incredible job with that product.
We did a little product review on it maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice Australian product. Okay, that was a good one. I'm surprised. by Craig, pulling a good one out there. Well done. I think we'll...
What about the Bamboo app, guys?
The Bamboo app. Yeah, check it out. You may have heard of it. You may have heard of it. With that, I think it's time for a break. And when we come back, loads of short, sharp news bites.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Crypto Curious podcast. Before we do jump into the short, sharp news bites, as I said, this is our last episode before we head into Christmas and New Year's break. On the break, if you're bored, take some time to write a review. It's your homework over the break. That would be great. Wherever you're listening to us now, a short little review, just a couple of sentences. Let them know how amazing we are. That would be fantastic. Thanks, folks. On with the news. Craig, how about you kick us off today?
Tether has onboarded the FBI as part of their law enforcement collaboration. The crypto natives are shocked. So the leading stablecoin issuer, which sort of gets a lot of stick about anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism, they're taking it serious. The US lawmakers are, you know, pretty much saying that Tether uses rigorous KYC processes and they want to collaborate with the FBI to help identify and halt illegal activities. So I assume that's regulatory pressure, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how much they have under on their platform now? $80 billion US dollars.
Squillion or something?
$90 billion US dollars. Yeah. They're gonna have to comply. Their business is worth too much to not comply with, you know, what the regulators want, even though, you know, those guys are most likely offshore. They're still going to have to work with the regulators. And I think this is going to push people to, you know, the decentralized stable coins like MakerDAO. All right, a Bitcoin miner is set to buy 4 Canadian power plants. Hub 8, a crypto mining company, is set to acquire 4 natural gas power plants for Bitcoin mining in Ontario. And the acquisition, approved by the Ontario Supreme Court of Justice, and is expected to close in January. So the facilities will be used to bolster energy pricing certainty to mine Bitcoin. And we're just going to see more and more of this. I've been listening to stuff about Bitcoin mining over the last few days about, you know, there's so much waste in the energy sector. I think 30 to 40% of energy is wasted. And, you know, Bitcoin miners can sit in energy grids and kind of chew up that waste. And then when the energy is needed across the network, the Bitcoin miners can, you know, be turned off to create more stability, which is what needed as more stability is needed as more renewables come into these grids.
Yeah. It'd be good to definitely get Dan from Iris Energy back on and have a chat about where those guys are placed for next year also. Okay, next up, crypto exchange KuCoin has agreed to a $22 million settlement with the New York's Attorney General over a lawsuit accusing it of breaking state laws by listing unregistered securities. As part of this agreement, KuCoin will withdraw from the New York market, paying $5.3 million to the state and refunding $16.7 million to investors. All these stories, like $5.3 million to the state, you know, how much is those guys are sitting on a gold mine of fees and a treasure trove, how much has been paid to them?
There's nowhere more crazier than KuCoin in a bull market.
Yeah, there's a lot of degen stuff.
US Senator Democrat Elizabeth Warren has introduced a bill to crack down on Bitcoin and crypto. She's like 70 years old. She's still in parliament, but she says that the bill is alleged misuse of crypto in various illegal activities. She wants a bill to calls for increased regulation, and it's going to be supported by the Coalition from the Banking Committee, which there's no surprise there.
Mm-hmm.
So this news gave the crypto market a little bit of a scare, but it's not being viewed as a threat because Warren has a horrendous record of getting bills over the line.
Yeah.
So
you're not. What do you reckon of that, Blake?
Nothing like this is. Don't think stands a chance of getting across the line. All right, next up is a decentralized exchange Uniswap has extended to Bitcoin sidechain Rootstock. Now, Rootstock was an ICO in 2018 that raised a bunch of money, and their view was to build smart contracts on top of Bitcoin, which would unlock.
So ahead of their time.
Which would unlock like $1 trillion of, you know, capital to be used in various ways. So this aims to provide more infrastructure for the Bitcoin DeFi ecosystem, which is a big narrative coming through at the moment. And this enables the combination of Uniswap smart contract capabilities with Bitcoin security, potentially resulting in much more liquidity on the platform. Now, you know, the thesis here is that with all these new Bitcoin, you know, smart contracting capabilities and these different side chains on top of Bitcoin, we're going to see it implemented into Aave, Compound, Curve, and all these DeFi platforms that, you know, the centers of DeFi in the ecosystem. But we also have Bitcoin native DeFi platforms popping up, starting to use these platforms. So I think there's going to be different security profiles to using these different technologies on these different platforms, and people are going to gravitate towards, you know, these different products. But I might say that, you know, these platforms like Uniswap, like Aave, once implemented some of these Bitcoin side chains, I think are a far more mature ecosystem than some of these new platforms. And they're going to attract more capital because people don't want to put large sums of capital into these DeFi apps that don't have much value locked on them.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Because there's a big risk. They haven't been stress tested. Once we see, you know, Aave implement these side chains,
I think that's a very good point.
That's what people are going to move
more comfortable.
Yeah, much more comfortable. They know, you know, it stood the test of time.
Last up, play to earn game Axie Infinity revealed that its next update, which has happened actually yesterday, will enable in-game monsters or the NFTs to evolve like Pokemon. Over 250 different Axie parts can evolve on any Axie NFT, upgrading the character's battle strength and aesthetic look. The breakthrough NFT game that we have spoken about a few times throughout the years on the podcast is a very popular game where these little cute Axie characters all battle each other. This was first launched back in 2018. It's been pretty popular. So since then, Axie Infinity and its broader Ronin blockchain ecosystem has seen millions of players. So that seems to be some big news for the Axie Infinity players. That's it, guys. That is our last episode of the year. Very excited to come back for next year to see how this market goes. We won't be back, folks, till the last week of January. However, if something very exciting happens in the market, then we'll jump on the mic and bring you back an episode, won't we, guys?
We will.
Yep.
I hope you can hear the enthusiasm in Craig Jackson's voice right there, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll have a shock podcast for when the ETF gets approved.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So we are taking a break. Like we said, we'll come back with the news. But if something happens, then we'll definitely jump on the mic and talk about it because the market, we'll see how the market reacts. Everyone thinks it's a pump. Blake just said to me today it could be a dump. So who knows? We shall see. But that is it. Wishing you and yours a very merry Christmas, Festivus, whatever you celebrate. Have a great New Year. Again, if you're looking to DCA into the crypto market, please have a look at the Bamboo app. We work so hard on it. Please use the code Curious for $10 of free Bitcoin to get you started. Show notes are below for that one. Please follow us on social media. We will stay active on that one via the Crypto Curious Instagram page or Facebook group. Hit the subscribe button where you are listening to the podcast now. Don't forget to rate and review us and do that little review. Again, have a great one and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
See you guys.
Bye.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services License.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
540-697.